Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 7th of February, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
There are two, don't you mean?
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome back. We've missed her. We missed her. She hasn't been here since last year.
No, not since December.
December. It's ages ago.
I know.
Welcome back, Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting. Hello, Nettie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
Well, thank you. How have you been?
I've been well. Listening to you two, though, just makes me laugh every time. And it's a long time since I've been in the studio with Jules.
Mm. Well, we don't know what we do. People say this. They go, oh, you and Bunker.
Yeah, but I don't mean it nicely. They go,
no,
you make me laugh.
I didn't mean it nicely. It just
makes me laugh. Call this a business show.
We don't know what we do.
Yeah. No. Talk about toilets, mostly.
It's a little unusual. No, but things are good. Obviously, tax return deadline day was last Tuesday.
Yeah, that's always good for a laugh, isn't it?
Highlight of an accounting year. Mm. But no, apart from that, just busy. January's been busy. Everything's busy as usual, and that's the way I like it.
Right.
And I've brought a very special guest with me today, but we'll talk about him in a minute.
Yeah, we will.
Should we talk a bit more about us first?
Yeah, I would if I were you, Nettie. Yeah.
There is a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Well, one is Kiba. We've not mentioned Kiba yet today.
Kiba.
No, we haven't.
Rift is one of the sponsors.
You know
why?
You know why we haven't mentioned Kiba?
Why? Because I was going to.
Because you were going to do it.
Hey, and I'm doing it. The Kent Excellence in Business Awards 2017. Mm-hmm. Applications have got to be in by the 24th of February, and there is always a massive gala dinner. Usually at the Declan Showground, and this year it's on the 22nd of June.
It's a great venue, by the way.
It's a fabulous venue, and it's always a great night. But it's just there's so many great categories, and it really does encompass just about anyone or anything in business in Kent.
It is, you know, being serious for a moment, it's a big event, isn't it? It's
massive.
Probably the biggest award event in Kent.
The biggest of them all.
And it is a biggie, and there are lots of different categories.
There
and,
really are. And it's free to enter.
Yeah.
You know, and it can give so much profile to a business. So you must be registered in Kent. The business must be registered
even,
in Kent.
I just want to interject there because even if you don't win, it still gives you profile.
Absolutely. Mm. And it also means if you're shortlisted, the judges are going to come out to your premises, they're going to look around what you're doing, etc., etc. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ones, and I'll tweet in a moment and put the website up. But it's really whether you're a large business, a startup, a manufacturer, a construction project, employer of the year, customer service award, you know, the entrepreneur of the year, the young entrepreneur, an apprenticeship award. There's so many different categories that can, you know, really work with any business of any shape or size. And I would just encourage people to look at it. And it does also work in conjunction with the Chamber Awards, I believe. I think if you do one, I think if you enter the Chamber Awards, you automatically also get a look in at Kiba. So seriously,
that is true.
Have a look at it. Yeah. I didn't just make that up, did I? That was
no, you
true.
Didn't.
I was almost doubting myself
true.
As I said it, but no, I was pretty sure it's true. So I think it's the 9th year, so next year will be a massive, the first decade done. Mm. But Riff won it 2 years ago before we used to sponsor. Now we're a sponsor, we can't enter. But we won the Customer Service Award for Kent, and we were really, really pleased. But the profile, it's still on our signatures. It helped us get on with, you know, the service mark and all the rest of it. So I really would encourage businesses to do it.
Do you know who won the very first one?
Was it you?
Oh, yeah.
Hey!
It was. Oh, yeah.
So sometimes any business can get through in Kent.
Do you see what she did there?
So it really is worth anyone applying.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be shy.
Oh, don't be shy. But no, I would encourage it, and we'll put it up on the old Twitter in a bit because I think it would be good.
And yeah, no, it's a fantastic event. Do go in for it. It is very worthwhile. In general, going in for business awards is good PR. Mm. It is good PR. So do that.
Yeah.
So how's things apart from that, Nettie?
Things apart from that are very good. Exciting new year.
Yeah. And you have done your normal, haven't you? You've rocked up with a very interesting guest for us to talk to.
Well, do you know what? I pride myself on my guests, as you know.
I know you do.
I really do. And I have so many very interesting clients.
Oh, I see.
Careful. Mm. We're trying to get this show out of the toilet, remember?
True.
Into the business world. Mm. So, no, I do have a lot of interesting clients. And I've wanted to bring Mark onto the radio for a while, but Mark was always in Croydon, but he's literally, he moved to Kent 2 weeks
just to be
ago.
On Croydon. The Business Bunker show.
London, but yeah.
London.
Yeah.
London. Whopping area. Yeah. Whopping. Yeah. Is it not Croydon where I went to see? I went somewhere in London-ish way.
Well, Whopping and Croydon, Annette, are completely different areas.
Yeah, it's all
they're
the
north
same.
Of here, aren't
it's all,
they?
It's all the same, though, isn't it? Come on, now, hold on, Mark. So where were you?
So I used to live in Wapping.
Right.
Just moved to Birchington in Kent.
Oh, Birchington. Yeah. I love it. Oh, we'll come down to you there.
Literally got the keys
I love
week.
Birchington. Yeah. By the sea.
Yeah.
So I'm now a Kent boy, so that's cool. And the office is based in South Bermondsey. So the other side of the Thames of Wapping.
And that's obviously where I thought I was when Croydon. I was in Croydon. Anyway, I went on a train.
Oh, well, there you go. That's near enough, isn't it?
And this is obviously
public transport
Mark,
for you.
I know, this is obviously why Mark normally comes to me, because obviously I get lost for days. But Rift has worked with Mark for the last 3 years, must be. Initially just for the research and development side, but now also for the accounting side. And we'll sort of pick the story up together, I suppose, really. I'll let Mark talk about his Rift adventure, but more excitedly, actually, the products he's doing and how we've worked with him.
Very, very sexy products. I'm dying.
It's a shame we haven't got television, really, right now.
But I can video him. But I'm also a little bit upset. I seem to have eaten my cake, Annette, without realising
I said you were going to have that at the end
of
the show.
I know, it's gone.
It's obviously,
I don't remember eating it.
Do you know what happened? She didn't interrupt me, did she?
Absolutely, that's why.
I'm going to Periscope, Mark, while you chat.
But anyway, Mark, over to you. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, and can I say thank you to Nettie as well and Rift, but get that plug in. But for a small business that's involved in design, the R&D tax credits are super helpful.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
A lot of people aren't aware of them. So I think that's...
It's an interesting thing. Let's just explore that for a moment. You might like, as a recipient of this, because the problem is for people that are helping you get R&D tax credits, everybody goes, yeah, you can get me free money, whatever, and ignores you. But you, like me, have actually used them to do this,
Every year.
You know that it works.
Yep.
Just give us a very quick overview of what's involved here.
So you just have to, Rift are great, they do a lot of the work for you. So you explain them the story of your last year, what you did, what they considered development, what wasn't R&D, and what could be claimable. And they do all the legwork, basically. It's great. I just tell them what I was up to, show them pictures, as we develop the products, a little description on what was done, and they sift through it. They look at the invoices for any external freelancers that we may have used, materials that we may have brought, prototyping, equipment that we might have used or purchased. They go through all those invoices and with the story of what we did in the development, come up with a number and run it past HMRC. And if they approve it, then we get the we can get that either as a tax offset
or cash.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, that's when you're starting out, anything
great.
Is, and it's a decent amount if you're developing. And it's a great system because this year now we've done it for the last 2 years. We're now factoring that into our business plan. So it's encouraging us to develop. Yeah. So it sort of, works really well.
And that is the point of the whole R&D scheme. I saw
tunes in your mouth,
I saw a statistic the other day that the government reckon for every £1 million they return in R&D tax credits, they make £4 million.
Mm. Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah.
And it's still such an untapped market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us just the kind of businesses that can apply? Because it's not just any business, is it?
Well, it's any business, really, that is developing or changing something. If your competitor would like to buy what you're developing, the chances are it's R&D.
Yeah.
If it's not on the shelf. Now, that's not going to be for everything and everyone, and that's quite a bold statement to make. But at the same time, we would rather talk to people and understand what they're doing so that we can advise them whether or not it fits in or not. That's the answer at the end of the day. Because then there's other elements to bear in mind. It could be that it's relevant for, you can claim on it if you spend it in this direction, but if you spent your money over here, it wouldn't be judged as R&D, or you may get a grant or something like that. And it's really important that you put that money aside to do something with it instead of maybe for the development. So there's all these sort of other bits and pieces that we can help businesses to understand how to make the most of their money. And that's the sort of thing we would do with Mark and with other clients. and then working with you on your accounts as well, the two marry up really together. Well together. Mm. So the accountant and the R&D specialist are walking distance from each other and can say, right, what does this, where's that, what does this fit in? And then Mark just says, yes, no, that's what we did, et cetera, et cetera.
That sounds true. And the initial assessment is free with you guys?
Yep.
Okay.
And then we can talk it through, and then the claim, like Mark quite rightly said, it either comes off your corporation tax bill, or it can be cash if you either have got more of a refund than the bill, or if actually, you know, you haven't made any money at all, and you need the cash.
Funnily enough, I've just had a tweet here from Venomtech.
Yep.
And I go, Business Bunker, Paul, we're really enjoying the Business Bunker as usual. Please could you give us a shout out? Our patent, right, for safe snake feeding device has now been granted.
Hey.
So well done, guys.
Safe snake feeding advice.
Love that.
Device. Wow. So they've got a patent on a safe snake feeding device.
These are the people who keep spiders in boxes, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And snakes. Venom.
Could you imagine if a prototype didn't work and you were doing that?
yeah, exactly.
That'll be you'd have animal welfare.
Damn.
Yeah. So I think, Mark, you should tell us about what you've developed, because this is exciting.
Hold them up, because I'm videoing, I'm periscoping.
Well, shall I? I was driving, trying to think what, trying to explain what VR is, or virtual reality.
Yeah. Start as if we're complete idiots.
Give it a
idiots.
Go. Because I could talk, like, the technical side, and I think that might be a bit boring. So
do
I was
it
just,
how we can understand it, because you're clever.
I said,
not in a geeky. Don't do it in a geeky way.
They let me out. Normally, I'm in the shed working away, so I'm out in the daylight, which is unusual. So I think, say you had a friend that was in. It's a bit bleak, but I think it's a good way to.
So you had a friend
who was in hospital and they were unwell or something, and they were bedbound, you know, and they were stuck in the same place. You know, not seeing outside, not seeing maybe family, quite isolated, and maybe getting a little bit depressed. Imagine if you could buy them something that would, you know, help their morale, help them cheer them up.
Not grapes, then.
Something slightly better than grapes. Okay. You know, there's lots of things you can do. You can read, you can watch, you know, but after a while, maybe, you know, you need something else. You miss the sun, you miss the, you know, seeing it outside. So imagine if you could give somebody a device that they could put on, and all of a sudden they could see the horizon, see the beach, maybe see a birthday that they missed, you know. Imagine if they, you know, something like that. And basically that's, in a nutshell, what virtual reality can give you. So you can put this thing on your head and be transported to a different environment, a different place. And I think, you know, that's quite a powerful, you know, so quite a powerful thing to give to somebody. I think, and I should have checked it before I left. I think VR initially was developed in submarines.
Okay.
A long time ago. So imagine that environment.
You claustrophobia. Oh, yeah.
You're in the, you know, this.
All
this,
that water above you.
Yeah. You know, mentally that's incredibly scary. But then also, you know, physically you're in these tight corridors. So I think they designed VR initially to prevent people sort of losing their minds in that situation.
Sure.
And creating an artificial environment. And you know, as humans, I think it's natural for us to see the horizon.
We need green.
See space.
Yeah.
And I think why virtual reality has suddenly, because it was about like 20 years ago, Lawnmower Man and things like that. So it's not new.
So
like
who's Lawnmower Man?
Oh, it was a movie back in the 80s.
Okay.
Big famous tech.
Do you know this, Paul Andrews?
Sci-fi movie.
I need to go out more.
So it's nothing, it's like a lot of technologies. It's nothing actually that new about the concept. It's just come back into fashion. A company called Oculus that you may have heard in the news about 4 years ago kickstarted VR and got everyone sort of excited about it. I think they raised over $1 million in Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And broke the record on that. And that's how we started this, basically. We saw that. And virtual reality is this tool that you can put it on your head and be somewhere else. And I think as we live in cities and get more, you know, squeezed into smaller and smaller places. You know, we probably are suffering maybe a bit more sometimes with, you know, not seeing the sun in the winter months and things like that. Virtual reality can enable you to experience artificially some of those environments.
Okay. So talk us through one of these. You've got three things in front of you. talk us through the first one.
I wanted to just basically explain the time frame and the development that goes into a product. I mean, we're a UK business and we're in the virtual reality game, which is mostly sort of San Francisco, American, you know, you hear about those companies. So with this little London company trying to compete with these big players. I mean, our competitors are Samsung and Google and so, you know, we're trying...
And other small businesses.
Yeah, so we're trying to sort of battle against those guys and get a name and carve out our own sort of piece of that. And this was the prototype that we came up with that we actually... were commissioned to do before I started this business. I have another company that's a product design company, right. And that's my background. And this was actually a commission. So this is May 2013. We called it the Claw for obvious reasons. And this is 3D printed. And this was a commission from one of the directors now of the business, who we didn't know at the time, who asked us to design a headset to fit his phone. We spent about twice as much time than we got paid for, just because we found it sort of really interesting. Made this prototype, it came out, we got lenses, that are off-the-shelf lenses, worked out all the maths of all the distances and everything like that, and printed it and tried it, and it worked. And we were like...
And you were shocked.
And we were a little bit shocked. Sounds bad. Normally prototypes don't do that. They don't normally work first time, or they didn't. You know, we didn't really expect the experience to be quite so good.
Yeah.
And it is a really basic system. It's two lenses, a screen, and you're tricking your like any 3D sort of device. You're tricking your brain to think you're looking at a 3D environment.
Yeah.
And that was May 2013, and we basically got this prototype. Said to the guy that did the commission, that asked us to do the commission, Jonathan, this is really cool. Do you want to start a company? Like, do you want to see where this leads? Because we could tell that this is on the horizon. Mm-hmm. VR is going to be emerging. You know, it's still very niche. And he said, sure. So we developed it a little bit further. Then we did two pitches. The first one was really Dragon's Den style, and it was a bit intimidating. The second one was a lot more casual. And we got it. We got our funding.
Wow.
So...
How did that feel?
at the time, it was really exciting. I think because product design is the thing I know.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that... the sort of three phases of the business.
Mm.
The development of the product, sales and marketing, and then trying to grow the company, which is where we are sort of now. I knew the first bit because I'm a product designer. I've done it for like 10 years. I sort of got that bit. The rest, I sort of thought, we'll figure that bit out. How hard can it be? Yeah. I kind of thought we'll be first to market. We're making something that there's a demand for. You know, we can turn it around quite quickly because we're a little business, and we've got a pretty clear direction. We've got the money. Let's just make it, figure out pretty much all the other bits after that. And that was, what's the date on this one? July 2014.
You're like a professor, Mark. I still don't understand, as a layman, when you said it's for his mobile phone.
Yeah, okay, so I can explain now with the final version. So yeah. 2 years after our initial prototype, we have the FreeFly, which is the name of the headset.
That's the sexy looking one.
And the brand. The goal was to produce one headset that can fit all the different sizes of phones out there. As a designer, you know, I've done lots and lots of projects. I've never known one harder than this, because during the last 4 years that we've been working on it, phone technology has changed so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
It's catch up all the time.
Yeah, there's, you know, phones get smaller, they get bigger. The resolution's changed, ports are in different places. So it was a very, very hard product to design for, because every time we got so far, we'd, you know, look at the news and someone release a new phone and we're like, oh. So we basically tried to design one product that will fit all the different phones out there. And that's kind of like the why it's the way that it looks. It has these two wings and they're synchronized with a gear in the middle. And it simply accepts loads of different phones. You've got these little blocks that you can move so that you can have access to your ports on your phone or bigger phones. And as you can see, that could take a pretty big phone, and then it will shrink down and you can fit in, you know, like an iPhone 6. So that's the design, and then I can just turn on my phone and show you.
Your guys have just started tweeting, by the way. You must have ripped them into shape. Yeah.
So I'm just going to load up an app.
I'm getting lots of hearts on your on the Periscope, lots of likes.
And it's always the way. It's going to take a little while to load. So that's just loading, and that's just an app. So App Store, search for that. When we started this out, there was one app. So
have you developed your own app, or will you do that?
So yeah. So along the way of having some money, and trying to build a business, we also tried to develop an app and found out that's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And the whole journey has been trying to figure out what kind of business that we are, and you sort of start off trying to take on everything, and then slowly you sort of work out, we should do this, we're really good at it. Mm. If there's things like app development, let's
give
work with other
app.
Companies. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do now. So we are a hardware company, and we produce this product and associated products, and this just shows you how it works. So the phone's in, there's things called Virtual Beach. So it's a 3D model of a beach, two screens. You close the device, and you put it on your head. And if anyone wants to have a go,
and then you're watching.
So the whole idea to this product is, it's the word that you hear a lot with virtual reality is immersion. So you're trying to block all the light. Ideally, you want a pair of noise cancelling headphones. You put that on. And the idea is that you're not distracted by anything else in the room. So you could be sitting in a busy, station in London, really noisy, you're on the train and you're really tired. You can put on a pair of noise cancelling headphones and sort of isolate that part of your senses. But then you could also stick on this headset and chill out and, be somewhere completely different.
You can also not just chill out. I've had a play on the roller coaster. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, so you get on there, and I hate roller coasters, but you find your head moving all over the place. You find yourself ducking, rolling around, making yourself look quite stupid if somebody was watching you, not realising what you're doing.
You could get quite queasy, couldn't you, on it?
Yeah.
As well, if it were on a roller coaster.
Mm.
So I'm just doing it now, Mark, and it's giving me... Are there instructions there?
You
so
might want to... If you turn around, because sometimes when I set it up, it's facing me, so
okay,
there you go.
Okay, I'm with you, yeah. So now I'm looking... Oh, I'm looking at a beautiful beach.
Yeah, so you can go through that menu and...
Wow.
So you said you were going to go on holiday.
Yeah.
So a good sort of product to go with this is a 360 camera, mm-hmm. and you're seeing those more and more now in high streets. And you do sort of think, well, what can I kind of do with... What can I use that for? And just imagine, a really lovely holiday. Take your 360 camera with you. Record a load of things. You can then, go back and relive some of those memories, and maybe even spot something that you never saw in the first time. I think it's important to point out, I think, with this that we are kind of at the start.
Mm.
It's like any technology. It's we're at the slightly clunky stage, but if you could only see it from my perspective and how in such a short period of time phones have got in so much faster, so much more powerful, and I think it's in the next few years, I think by 10 years virtual reality is going to be a media like anything else. I'm pretty convinced about that.
Where I see this going mad, Japan, the Japanese kids.
How
were,
fun is
because
that?
They, they love that whole comic thing, the comic books of Japan and things. This sort of thing is just completely
anime.
Japanese.
Another thing I can see this working for, because I've always got a sad, boring business head on. Imagine going to, have a new bathroom or a new kitchen. And giving your measurements and getting that as your app that arrives. Instead of getting all this pile of paper and looking at your carbon footprint and all of that, I can see that coming through on an app. And
I think from a business point of view, before you spend money on things, you can simulate it.
Yeah.
So say you're trying to use a new tool, a new piece of equipment. You can practice for as many hours as you like.
Mm.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
So then the second you do use the expensive piece of equipment that might damage if you break it, you're experienced.
And it also depends on how you use it. We've had two tweets in from each end of the spectrum.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Gosh. One is from Victoria Jones, and she said, Business Monkey, awesome. She says, and there's a great video on YouTube showing how to use virtual reality with dementia patients.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
which is really good. Yeah. And then just to offset that, we've had Chris, Chris Hyde from Comediogenics, and he says, Vanilla Web, I got a VR headset for Christmas. I was so nauseous after a car race, I had to lay down for 2 hours.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's your age, Chris.
It would make me a bit grim.
It's like anything. You get, it's for some people. Sometimes people get seasick and some people don't. You do get, the more you use it, you do sort of relax a little bit.
To be fair to Chris, he has gone on to say, Chris specialises in change and problems management. And he says, I see loads of applications for virtual reality in change projects so people can visualise a new workspace and stuff like that. Cool. As long as you lay down afterwards, Chris, obviously.
I think the thing, though, for hospital patients, it would be amazing. Imagine if you've had a real, sort of trauma and you're bedridden. I mean, I was bedridden a long, long time ago when I was a kid. I missed a year off school.
She recovered, though, sadly.
I missed a year off school. And, that would be, I was climbing the walls. Yeah. So that would be great, that sort of thing.
I think it's like, you're reliving things. The camera, the 360 camera is something to try out as well. Imagine you're not there for a birthday or an important event.
Sure.
And then you can, rather than looking at a picture, which is great, or seeing something on your phone, it's great. But putting a headset on and actually feeling like you're there, it's pretty interesting.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a weird thing when you think about the memories that you have of VR. Is VR real? That's like one of the questions that's been discussed.
Well, now you're
quite
getting quite spooky, aren't you?
Really? It's gone a bit deep.
It's getting all geeky now.
Could you? This may be silly because I haven't talked to you pre-show, but could you people video family occasions and then you would look at it as if you were there?
Yeah.
So that would be
like a selfie stick with your 360 camera to get a good perspective,
right?
Or you could hold it.
And so you'd make it into an experience that they could watch?
Yeah.
Or you could?
Yeah. I mean, 360 cameras are great because they're geared up for it. They have a camera on the front and a camera on the back, and they're 180. So they automatically stitch it all together, and you haven't got to do anything. You can sort of convert some of your photos and things like that into 360. You have like a function to sort of take wider shots and large shots. You can do that, and it works pretty well. There's something called Google Camera. Cardboard camera, by Google. That's a really good app, and that's a really good one to try. So maybe next time you're on holiday, just try that, and then
it's not a holiday. I do work when I'm out in Africa, you know.
Then
I tack a holiday on at the end. It's quite clever.
We finish up on that. Heath and Hub have tweeted in and said we got money back from R&D via Rift Accounting, and we installed bespoke heating systems and combined heat sources. So thank you for that. Mark, we could talk about this forever. Virtual reality is a thing, and it's a thing that's going big at the moment. So fair play to you. So what are your plans as a business?
So like I said, we're at stage two after making the product, because as I said, I thought we were there. Stage two was figuring out sales and marketing. I thought you just throw together a website and you just,
and they'll find you.
And they'll find you, exactly. They're just searching. Everyone's searching for VR and virtual reality. And so all that isn't true. You have to work really hard at that. Yeah. We sell the product all around the world. So trying to get the logistics side of things sorted out so that your warehouse can cover, Europe, your warehouse can cover America and Asia and all that. And that all works through a website securely. Getting into places like Amazon.com is our biggest, our best sort of. We're on there, and that's been by far the most successful sort of outlet for us. But we're another retailers, and because none of us came from sales, understanding retailers, how wholesale works, you can't really predict how your direct sales are going to go versus larger sales. So it's just been sort of 1 year, 1.5 years of that process. We now have a really good idea of who we are as a brand, because that's changed throughout. One thing I was just going to say is that it makes this project even harder, this business even harder, is that we're not just trying to sell a product. We're trying to educate someone what the product does. Yeah. If we were selling a torch or something, everyone knows what that is. So you can make a really cool video and make it really nice and slick. But we have to kind of explain to someone why they'd buy this thing and try to sort of persuade them to buy it. So it's very hard.
I have great empathy with you on that. I launched my main business, which is an internet business, before anybody had the internet. And trying to explain what the internet was to people that didn't really want to know was, you know what?
Yeah. The World Wide Web. Yeah,
that won't catch on. Yeah, yeah,
they go, no, I've got a newspaper here. I don't need that. So I do sympathise with
What I love as well about this whole story is Mark is very modest about it, but he's done that real journey that I'm always talking about. And how many conversations have you and I had over the years about the fact that businesses evolve, they keep changing.
Absolutely, they do.
They keep having to go back to the drawing board. And I'm always telling you, Mark, it's normal.
It's normal to feel this way.
It is, unfortunately.
But it's better to do this, because if people have a very rigid idea about what their business is going to do, if you'd have stuck to your original plans and whatever, it wouldn't look like this.
Yeah, it's really tough, because you can have a plan. And
that's good.
And you should. But that's in, I think that's a lot easier to do in proven industries that are, you know, established industries where you know things and they're not constantly changing. But we've found it to be so dynamic, and where things didn't work, they did, and vice versa. So now, and like I said, even our brand and how we, what we thought worked is very different now to what works.
Yeah,
and if you just have a rigid plan and you don't change, then you're not going to last, I don't think.
Yeah. We could talk about this for a long, long time. Okay. Sadly, we've run out of time. So Mark, if people want to get hold of you, how can they do that?
Just Google Free Fly VR.
Okay. There's a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website, so do feel free to go there and to click on the link to Mark. Mark, thank you so much for that. A fascinating subject, virtual reality. All power to you. We wish you much and continued success with what you're doing.
Thank you.
And keep on keeping on.
And we had 67 live viewers there on the Periscope watching you, darling. And also Laura, of course.
How many in VR?
That will be that will be the
I've got a picture of Chris Hyde in his VR kit.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have a look.
I've had a tweet from Alex Waterson of F Keys, who says, listening today, greetings to all. Please get in touch if you want to maximise your Office 365 skills. So do get in touch with Alex. He's brilliant.